Once again, that we have the opportunity to turn to your word and ask you to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
This conference is being recorded.
Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This raises a question. Is this the day? What do we have in a day? 84,000 heartbeats, 1,440 minutes. We have in a day a complete rotation of the earth, circle of the sundial. In a single day, we have a sunrise and a sunset. 24 unlived, untouched, unexplored hours. The psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. This reminds us of the Creator and His creation. The only one, the Creator, is the only one who can make a day. The Hollywood star, I can't think of his name, Clint Eastwood, was, I think he made some of his movies famous by saying, make my day. But the Creator is the only one who can make your day. We are urged to acknowledge that He makes the day, but also that we are to rejoice and be glad in the day he makes.
Amen.
Now the truth is, not every day is a happy day. Many of our days are mixed. Instead of rejoicing like Job, we are tempted to curse the day we are born on some days. There are days of traffic jams, long lines in gas lines and bank lines and supermarket lines. There are days filled with natural disasters, blizzards, earthquakes, hurricanes, shootings at schools. There are days of complaining spouses, criticizing church people. There are some days are filled with deadlines, examination days, tax days, messed up yesterdays, fear-filled days ahead. And yet the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad. Now, it's easy to rejoice and be glad on the happy days, on the good days, the day you graduate from high school, or the day you graduate from college, or with a higher degree. You toss your graduation cap in the air, rejoicing. It's easy to rejoice in such a day. Or the day you walk down the aisle and you stand before the minister and say, I do. It's easy to rejoice and be glad in it. And it's easy to rejoice and be glad for those who make those nuptial agreements. It's easy on the day your first child is born, or when any of your children are born. It's a day of rejoicing for most people. In it, let us rejoice and be glad in it on those days. Easy on those days. But what about the days that make us scratch our heads? The days that baffle us? Those gloomy, dark days. How can we rejoice and be glad in it? Why should we rejoice and be glad in those days when we receive bad news, bad experiences? As a matter of fact, when I think about those such days in my life, and we all have those mixed days, it causes us to rethink, and I'm tempted to edit this passage, as I'm tempted to edit, and I'm sure you've been tempted to edit for your understanding, to make it accommodate our perception. So I'm tempted to edit this word, the word in the day. I think it would, on some occasions, mixed days, when the news is not always good, when it's not the happy day, that I'm tempted to put the word and edit the word after. Let us rejoice after this day is finished. After I've gone through this bad experience. And yet, one reason I'm tempted to edit it is 1 Peter 5:10 says and suggests that our days that are filled with darkness and gloom and that are mixed with tragedy and trial, it says in 1 Peter 5:10 that after you have suffered a while, the Lord will strengthen, establish, perfect, and settle you after. So I can see how we are easily tempted to edit. But the psalmist says, this is the day. My question is this the day we should rejoice and be glad in it, even in the dark days? The psalmist does not permit editing of his word, of the Lord's word. We will rejoice and be glad in it, not after. I'm tempted to edit this word and put the word through. You see, I would easily be able to rejoice and be glad after I get through the dark experience, the deadline, the exam, the complaining, the long lines, the disasters. After I've gotten through, I can easily rejoice. I can better rejoice. And the Bible does promise we will get through. Psalms 23 says, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yes, the Lord, the Bible promises that we will go through. We will go through something. And so I can understand, and if I could edit this word, so I can rejoice when I get through it. Or perhaps if I could edit the day to read the word in, if I could edit the day to rejoice, we will rejoice, and I will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad when it's over. If I could just edit this word in and just put over. When it's over, whatever dark experience or trying and testing experience, when it's over, I can rejoice. I'm over it. So why did the psalmist say, yes, I can understand the good days, the happy days, the blessed days, but the days that are mixed with trial and testing, how and why? Why would he suggest that we rejoice in it? When you're tested, when you're pushed to the wall, in it, we will rejoice in it. I want to suggest that here are one or two reasons. The psalmist says, again, in Psalm 30, verse 5, that weeping, this is why you can rejoice in it. Even in the mixed day, it says that weeping, that darkness, that trial, that test, may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So in anticipation, we can rejoice in it, because we know it's not going to last always. Trouble doesn't last always. I'm so glad, the songwriter said. Rejoice in it. Paul didn't wait until he got out of prison. He was in prison when he wrote in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Paul and Silas were both in prison, locked up in the stockade, and they sang at midnight. They had been beaten, but they rejoiced in their affliction. They did it in it, not just after, not just through it, when they got through it, or not when the trial was over, in the prison, they rejoiced. Three Hebrews, this is why we can rejoice in it. When you are put in the furnace, like the three Hebrews, they were walking with Jesus in it. Jesus was in it with them. Amen. In it, Jesus prayed one of his most earth-shaking prayers in Gethsemane, in the experience of crucifixion. He prayed and triumphed in it. So the question is, when do you and I start? When do you and I start? Now, this is what Tom said to Bob. He said that I, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get up 6 o'clock in the morning. I want to share this exactly, so I don't want to misquote the brother. So I'm going to read this just the way he put it. He said it like this. There's nothing, Tom is talking to Bob. There's nothing like getting up at 6 in the morning, going for a run around the park, and taking a quick shower before breakfast, Tom said enthusiastically. Nothing like it. And so Bob asked, how long have you been doing this? Tom's answer, I start tomorrow. I want to say there's nothing like getting up and praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit 7 in the morning and ending the day 7 in the evening. Nothing like it. There's nothing like praying throughout the day for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or throughout this year. There's nothing like going through the great controversy, countdown, the great controversy, the whole Bible, the conflict series. Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. So when do we start? That's the question. How long have you been doing this? This is the day. That's the psalmist's suggestion. Is this the day that you start? Or is it tomorrow? Yesterday's gone. Is this the day? Here is what the servant of the Lord suggests. But I want to put it another way. I'm not going to put this on the servant of the Lord because she didn't say this. But it says, if you have a work today, do it now. Today. If you have a witness to give, give it today. If you have a soul to win him or her. Today, if you have an obligation to meet it today. If you have a debt to pay, pay it today. If you have a wrong to right, make it right today. If you have a confession to make, make it today. If you have children to train, train them today. But now, I want to conclude with this idea that the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. Even if it's a day when it's all, everything's going right, fine, wonderful, rejoice and be glad in it. But even if it's a day of trial, if it's a day of testing, if it's a day of struggle, we should still rejoice and be glad in it. And the question is, why and how can we rejoice and be glad in it? The servant of the Lord tells us, it's a Desire of Ages 5:27. This is why you can rejoice and be glad in it, not after. Not through when it's through, it's over and finished, but in the best days and in the darkest days. Here's what it says. It's Desire of Ages 5:27. To all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest. So in that darkest hour of this day that the Lord has made, even if it's the darkest hour, it says, that's the moment when God is standing nearby, nearest. He's closer to you then than ever before. Again, the servant of the Lord says, this is Acts of the Apostles. Trials. This is why you can rejoice in the day, even in the dark day. the day of testing, trial, and struggle, and obstacles. Trials and obstacles are His, that's God, His chosen methods of discipline, and His appointed conditions of success. Anybody going through something? A dark day? A trial? Obstacles? Testing? I don't know about you, but I have had my share. I'm still having my share. But I'm reminded that divine help is nearest. And this is God's method of disciplining me and also preparing my success. Going through a trial or an obstacle or a test, a dark period, God is preparing. This is God's preparation for your success. I can rejoice and be glad, not for the trial, not for the bad news, but for the fact that I realize that God is using this to get me to my success and triumph and victory. He's using this to get you, to lead you through, after, over, but in the very trial. That's His appointed condition of your triumph. I wonder if anyone would like to pray at this time with me. Because that's what I'm praying, that Lord help me to accept it and realize it, believe it, act upon it, live it, breathe it.
An open Bible for the world. May this a glorious motto be. On every breeze of truth unfurled. Shall scatter blessings rich and free. Blessed word of God, send forth a light.
A light for every land,
every sea. Kill all who wander in the night. Our letter to God and Him.
Amen.
Where it goes, it's golden light, streaming as from an unveiled sun, shall dissipate the clouds of night, undo the work that sin has done. Blessed word of God sends forth the light o'er every veil and every highway. Till all who wander in the night are led to God and Him by Thee. It tells of Jesus and His death, of life pure, cured for dying men, and to each soul of humble faith gives a sonship with the Lord again. It offers rest to weary hearts. It comforts those who sit in tears, till all who faint its strength imparts, and gilds with hope the eternal years. Blessed word of God, send forth my light,
o'er every land
and every sea. Till all who wander
that we have had the time to come together in worship and praise and celebrating the victory that each of us has in Jesus. Father, we are so thankful that the last conversation that Jesus had with the disciples as he ascended into heaven, that he would send the Comforter to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Father, we are so thankful for this message tonight, that we have the opportunity to listen to Holy Spirit's words, that those words have touched our hearts, they've touched our minds, Father, and we have the opportunity to let those words be a light to us as we go out and minister to others. So, Father, be with each of us. Bless us each. Father, fill us completely with the Holy Spirit. Custom to each of us with the full armor of God, that the evil one cannot cause any confusion or disruption. Let this past, these past minutes, Father, minister to each of us as we prepare to do battle and as we are intentional about growing God's kingdom. Father, bless all speakers with that special protection. Father, if you custom fit each of us so there are no cracks or crevices, the evil one will not be able to penetrate or cause confusion or disruption. Father, protect us as you love us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.